Well, good morning, everybody. Who knows what this is? It's a cootie. It's an old-fashioned cootie, yeah. So if you're a little bit younger like me, they're probably a little bit bigger and kind of look more like an ant than something a little bit creepier. So I'm just going to hand out some parts as I go. And so when you start the game of cooties, give that... Pass it on down. Gentlemen, you start out with just the body, right? Like just the centerpiece. Doug, you always like to play. There you go. Come grab that. Here you go, man. John. Oh, actually, Asher, here you go. So here, it's just... Yeah, don't lose those pieces, please, because then we can't play the game at home. So you start the game, you just have your body, you know, your color, and you start rolling the dice. When your number comes up, you get to add to it. But right now, what I started with was complete, but now I'm blank. Now, if everybody could start coming forward with their pieces, please. Bring your piece on up. All right, which one you got? Okay, so I have a leg. I got another leg. Awesome. Thank you very much. And another leg. So we all had individual parts, right? Oh, I got to wait for the head for the rest of it. All right. Thank you very much. So as I... handed out, and I had just my body, just my piece of the pie, just my piece of the puzzle that had to be put together. I really didn't have much of anything. In fact, I was sitting there, and I'm like, well, it's just, it kind of looks weird. It almost looks like something my dog might leave on the floor in the morning. But as we started building it, it became something. And it developed meaning, and suddenly it became a whole thing that we could now identify. See, when we come together, when each of us brought our individual piece forward, when we took what maybe, if I would have handed out beforehand at the beginning as people were walking through, I was afraid that they might get lost in the process. That's why I didn't do that. But if I just handed you the antenna or a leg, you'd be like, what is this? What purpose does this have? What can it possibly go to? Well, the fact is, everything has a purpose, and when we put it all together, it suddenly starts making sense. And what began as a leg or an antenna or maybe a weird head, this one actually breaks down to eyes and the little curly thing at the front, suddenly becomes a small little bug, identifiable as a cootie. I love the name of that game. It just makes me laugh. What we can take from that lesson is something that Paul is trying to teach the Corinthian church today here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. He's trying to understand or make them understand that individually we may not understand what our gift is, what it may be used for, how it might have purpose, but when you start bringing it together, when you start combining it all together, it has purpose, it has shape, and it suddenly starts to look like something. And no longer is it a bunch of individual pieces that don't seem to fit together or have any purpose by themselves, suddenly come together to show themselves to be something true and good and powerful. So if you please could stand up with me as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, of these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to their part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? And do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have chosen to be with us, to call us back to you through Jesus Christ, to empower us with the Holy Spirit, with gifts. But today let us have a deeper understanding of what those gifts are there to do, to bring us together, to unify us, to break down divisions and to hold us together, to strengthen us, not as our own, but together. For Lord God, where your body works together as hands and feet, legs and arms, heart, lungs, and all the other parts coming together, we work more efficiently. We have more strength, clearer vision, deeper understanding. In short, Lord, we can glorify you better. So, Lord God, let us come together. Let our gifts bring us together, not to show weakness, but to develop strength. For God, in your spirit, we are complete. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. In Paul's sections here, he's talking about the need for the body to understand that it's not the separation or the individuality that makes us powerful. It's the coming together in the Holy Spirit, the combining of all of our gifts. The cootie would not have been completed if we would not have all come forward together with our different pieces and been able to put them together. See, the Corinthian church was having an issue of pride. We've read about that several times as we've come through, where people thought that because they believed something in a certain way or because they did something in a certain way, that that was the only way it could be done, or that it was the only thing that was good. And they weren't using scripture to base that on. They were just, because it made them feel good or because it made them look better than the person next to them, they were being prideful. And so what he's trying to teach us here is that the Holy Spirit isn't coming to make each and every one of us an individual to be prideful of ourselves, but instead to bring us together, to unify us and to break down the lines of division and show that we can't do anything without anybody else completely in the eyes of God. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, as in the last section, last week's section that we read in the beginning in verses 8. It's a continuation of the conversation we had, where each of us are given a different gift so that we can come together. It isn't so that we can look better than others. It isn't so we have a strength that someone else doesn't have, or that because I'm more faithful, I get a better gift. See, without all the gifts coming together, we're weaker. So the Holy Spirit is acting as a unifying agent within the community of Christ or the body of Christ. But it's important that we understand the Holy Spirit a little bit. See, this has been a great confusion to the church ever since, because we didn't really get a great description other than the fact that he would come and that we would continue to do great things with the help of him. So we're always yearning to understand what the Holy Spirit is. And how do we know if we possess it or not? And unfortunately, there's no solid answer unless we come to these chapters where we start understanding that the Holy Spirit unifies us. And so if we are unified with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, then we can be pretty sure we have the Holy Spirit upon us. If we can put Christ first and work towards glorifying God above all other things before our will or our want in the situation, then we can probably be assured that the Holy Spirit is what is driving us at that moment, instead of just our own will or our own want. And just like a body, the Holy Spirit is the binder that puts us together, the sinews, the muscles, all the different parts. Now, granted, we've learned a lot more about the human body since the time that Paul wrote this. We know that there are billions of cells interacting. But I think that's because there are now billions of people in the world, and we have to understand that we are all called to work together. We are all called to be unified under Christ. We are all called to be a child of God. So as our numbers grew, our understanding of the diversity of the human body became that much more important. See, God uses science to help us understand what he's trying to do. It was never meant to set him apart or prove that he wasn't there. It was meant for us to have a deeper understanding of who he is. And so as people started understanding how intricate the little bacteria in your gut make you feel and act, it's just like the Holy Spirit. The part that you may not even understand having importance, the gift that sits three chairs down from you right now today that you have no clue exists because you've never taken a moment to find that out, is just as important to the body of Christ as the gift that you use every Sunday or every Wednesday or whatever you serve God in. But it's when the blood, the Spirit, courses through us that we start coming together, that we start understanding that, that we start becoming stronger. See, it's when the body acts up that we start understanding the division within it. How many of you have at home in a medicine cabinet Tylenol, ibuprofen? For some of us that are getting a little bit older, muscle rubs and therma patches and things of that nature. See, when the body becomes divided, when it stops working well together, we know it. We feel it. We try to fix it. But church, do we do that inside our church? When we feel division, do we step towards fixing it? Do we step by overcoming it and moving down a positive path, or do we just push it away or complain and let it become an ache at our side that drives us into wanting to do nothing but sit in a lazy boy and do nothing throughout the day? See, the Holy Spirit drives us to fixing it. It sits there and says, hey, there's a pain, there's a suffering, something isn't right. We must come together. See, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And whether you were Jewish or Greek, whether you're slave or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. See, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is or what you're doing right now. It doesn't matter what your job is, what race you come from, what ethnic background you have, whether you're a male, a female. None of that matters when the body of Christ comes together. Because when we come together, driven by the Holy Spirit, unified by the Holy Spirit, Christ is all that matters. God is all that is important at that moment. And for in that fact, the body is not one member, but many. We all have to come together for the body to work. He goes through, he explains out the whole concept of, you know, the foot saying, oh, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body. Well, obviously that's absurd, and Paul knew that. That's why he's using it. Obviously, if your foot decided to like exit your body and hopped off and started hopping down the road one day, you'd probably give a little bit of a start and probably a little bit of a objection to it, I would think, right? If it decided to pick up and decide to go and do its own thing. Has anyone ever had a body part that just didn't work right for a while? Yeah, you sit there and you give it a lot of attention suddenly, don't you? If you ever had a part where it just sits kind of idly, I can remember when I cut the top of my finger on a chainsaw and not being able to bend my finger, it got a lot of my attention, let me tell you. I couldn't write properly, I couldn't type, I couldn't do half the stuff I needed to do on my day-to-day basis. So every part is important, whether we understand it or not. I want you to take a second and look around. If you are sitting here, if you have Jesus Christ in you, you are part of the body and you have purpose. You have a reason and you've been gifted in a way that makes you as important as anyone else. And whether you understand that or not at this point, the truth is there. For each and every one of you is as important to God's body as I am, or as the Pope or anybody else who carries a lofty title. Whether you're the least or the most, it doesn't matter because you all serve an intricate part in the body of Christ. You all have purpose. You all have reason. But all too often we get taught or we get caught up in titles and we find ourselves sitting there going, well, I'm not worthy enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not as that person is, or I don't have that gift. But let me ask you this. The gift of leadership without mercy or grace is called caustic or even toxic at times. A person who is gifted with worship, who doesn't have discernment along their side, or doesn't have a heart to serve, is just prideful and boastful. A person who serves behind the scenes who never studies, who never grows in wisdom, isn't really serving God, but just trying to feel good. See, without all the gifts coming together, without all of us being in place to help each other understand what our role is, we fall short and the body grows weaker. But the Holy Spirit uses these gifts as a tool for bringing us together, to creating unity, because when I sit with fellow Christians and I can understand that they have strengths that I don't have, now suddenly we can move the body in a direction that God wants us to go in a better, stronger, faster way, because I'm not trying to do it all myself. And those things that I'm missing because of how I see the world suddenly become made light, and I can have a deeper understanding of what's going on around me. The gifts were never meant for a person to stand up and say, hey, listen, I've got this gift. Praise me for that gift. I'll take care of that. I'll make it right because I have the gift to do so. No, the gift was to sit there and say, hey, listen, your gift, my gift, all of our gifts coming together in unity, glorify God the greatest. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. When we come into church, when we sit down to hear a sermon, or when we come to Bible study, my question to you is, why are you here? Are you to feel good and check a box? Are you here because you want to make sure that the other people that are your friends see you in church and can't hold that against you or ridicule you for it? Or are you here to grow your gift? Are you here to strengthen that which God has given you and then put it back into the body to help strengthen the body? Do you sit before everybody around you and check the boxes off, or do you truly let God's Holy Spirit work upon you, growing that gift so that you can go and do the work that he has committed you to do? See, when we sit, when we're idle, see, the Holy Spirit grows weary and tired. Not of its own volition, or not that it's not capable of doing things, but the Spirit was sent to do things. Jesus tells us that, I will send another who will come in to continue to help you do the great works that I have been doing. So in other words, to continue doing those things that help glorify God, the Holy Spirit comes in. And if we aren't doing that, then the Holy Spirit sits idle inside of us, Now, we talked a few weeks ago about how that creates that conflict inside of us when we feel like the Holy Spirit, when God's moving us forward, but, you know, we're just not there. And we don't go forward with it. I can't tell you how many times throughout my life as a Christian, I've heard people come forward as like, oh, God speaks this in my heart and we need to do something like this. And then when you say, okay, so how are we going to work on that? What are you going to do for it? Whoa, hold on a second. That's not for me to do. What do you mean it's not for you to do? God's telling you. God's placing it on your heart. He's obviously speaking to you to go do something in that avenue. But you can't do it alone. That's the whole point. I can never pastor a church by myself. It's impossible. It's impossible for the fact that I am imperfect of myself. But when I come together with other leaders, when I come together with the body of Christ that's here gathering at River of Life on Sunday mornings, when we do things together, I start to become a little bit more complete. I start to become a little bit more noticeable as a cootie. Instead of just as a leg or whatever the heck you want to call that on its own, a cribbage peg. The gifts the Holy Spirit brings us are meant to unify us, to bring us together, to understand it. Now, we need to do something in order to do that, though. We need to humble ourselves. That's the section where he says, you know, if the foot were to sit there and say, well, I'm not the eye, I'm going to go. We need to humble ourselves and understand what our purpose is, what our role is inside the body of Christ. And that's not a humbleness of saying there like, well, I'm just not going to do anything because I'm just me. No, that's not it at all. What it is it's a humbling of the fact that if you have a leadership gift, use your leadership to help raise up other people. If you have a gift of wisdom, help educate other people so that they can grow stronger in understanding what it means to be Christian, to walk that Christian life. You see, when we come together in humbleness and we love each other, the Holy Spirit does miracles. It builds a stronger body. It makes a welcoming place. When it becomes about how do we all make it to the end instead of how do I get to the end, we can do this, or we are so much stronger and so much more recognizable as what God has created to be his body of Christ than what has been shown all too often. I want you to think of that for a second, church. I want you to look around at the faces that are around you. I mean it. Do it. Look around. Don't stare at me. You've been staring at me for the last 15 minutes. Do you want to see all these faces when you arrive in heaven? Or as they come to heaven. I want you to look around your communities when you go home, the people that are living next to you. Do you care enough about them to see them make it to the finish, to run the race and be awarded? See, that's just it. If we can't put ourselves there, if we can't put ourselves at a place where we want to see everybody cross the finish line with us, well, then I'm not sure we're in a healthy place. For God didn't just die for me, he died for all of us, for the entire world. He didn't just go to the cross so that I could be saved, he went to the cross so that all who believe can be saved. And so my heart yearns to see a finish line that's so crowded that you have to wait your turn to cross it. To be able to look left and right and see people that I love and care for as they walk across with me. No matter who they were or what they have done, to see them walking into the arms of God and to be risen up to the glory seat that he has for each and every one of us. See, last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit grants the gifts that were necessary for sharing the gospel, to continue to do the works, to prove that God was who he was. Paul isn't taking that away. He's saying we do that stronger and better when we come together in unity in the Holy Spirit, when we meld our gifts together and we work as one and move forward. And so a leader isn't necessarily any more important to the cause, because without the people who actually know how to get the work done, the task still sits empty and not finished. See, so a leader who's humble, who understands it's my job to make sure that everybody's working towards the same goal, but that each and every one of those jobs is as important as the one I'm doing, that each and every gift is being utilized in the best way it can be, helps move us towards fruition or to completeness. And the person who has a servant heart doesn't hold contempt or resentment to the person who's in charge because they don't feel like they get enough limelight. See, when we set ourselves back, when we remember the humbleness that we're called into in Christ, let the least be the greatest, and we love each other, well then, and only then, can we bring unity into the body of Christ. I've got a quote I want to share with you. So this is a very interesting quote that's been argued an awful lot over time. And this is a great culmination of it. It's, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this right. It's a German gentleman. Schleiermacher, I believe is how it is, but I'm not 100% sure. And he reads out, "What this means, however, is that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the Christian community, in the awakening and animating the life of faith, discipleship of Christ, and therefore devotion to the kingdom of God. The same God present in Christ is present in the church." So in other words, the only difference being that in one case, his presence was particular, i.e. the body of Christ, or I'm sorry, the man of Christ, while in the other case, it is general and corporate, an ecclesial sense. So in other words, as a body or as a church, as a coming together. What he's saying in this quote is that the Holy Spirit comes to bind us together to continue to do these works that God did. And the power that was in Jesus Christ is now found in the church in this way. I want you to dwell on that for a second. I want you to think really hard about what it means that we have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit in Christ, the same power in Christ dwelling amongst us. But Paul teaches that we don't get the fullness of the Spirit in each of us. We get specific gifts so that we can come together. But even God himself and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit show us community and the importance of community to make God's will happen in the end. But all too often in our world, all we hear is it's about me, it's about I, and I'm the only one who matters. Let's get what's best for me. Let's do something so I'm happy. But Christ is telling us is that happiness is in unity. Happiness is in togetherness. Happiness is coming together and being made complete by the people who are around you. We see this in marriage. In Genesis, we read about how a husband and a wife will come together, a man and a woman will come together, and they will become one flesh. They will become one. The two complete each other. But alone, they're not complete. Well, church, it's the same for us, that alone we are nothing but incomplete. No matter what gift you have, it is not the completeness of the Holy Spirit working in this world. But when we come together and we share our gifts and we bring all of our gifts together, we are made complete. So I want you to take a second as we begin to wrap up. I want you to look in the seat directly in front of you, directly in front of you. Don't look left or right, whatever's directly in front of you, and tell me if you find an envelope like this. Should be 11 of them out there. I want you to take a look in those envelopes. Go ahead and take a look in the envelope. What do you see? Hold that up. Okay. Now looking at it, can you tell what it is other than a piece of a puzzle? You might be able to guess if you're, I was going to say, if you got kids that are under the age of 15, you might be able to guess what it's from. Yeah. Okay. But none of us know what the full picture is. Now hold them up high so we can count them real quick. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I know where they, no, I don't want, don't go grabbing them if they aren't in front of you. Yeah, get back there, Deb. We have 8 pieces. There are 12 pieces to make the puzzle whole. 12 pieces to make that puzzle whole so we understand the full picture of what was presented in the first place. You can set them down. See, the gifts aren't meant for us to hold them to and be all proud of ourselves. They're meant to go out and share the gospel so that others may join us, so that these other pieces can be picked up. So that the wholeness of the picture of what the body of Christ looks like comes to fruition. That those who are looking at it can see it for what it was meant to be. The body of Christ continuing the works in the glorification of the Father, God. So church, we have work to do. We have 4 pieces that are still missing. And the beauty is the puzzle can only grow bigger and become more complete the more pieces we add. Because while this is a 12-piece puzzle, I have one that looks almost exactly like it that's a 24. And I'm pretty sure if I look hard enough, I can probably find a 1,000-piece puzzle that's fairly similar. See, the puzzle is never meant to be finished. It was meant to continue to grow so that we could gain a better understanding of God more and more and more. But we'll never see the full picture of who God is. But in it, we can become united. What would a community look like if every Christian came together under Christ and started sharing the gospel so that those who came out, what would it look like if it no longer mattered whether you were a leg, an arm, black or white, male, female, or any of the other definitive characters that we use to define ourselves, and we just became Christians, followers of Jesus Christ? What if we stopped looking at whether you were an addict in the past or a huge old CEO of some business making millions of dollars? What would it matter if we were all unified in Christ? If we just all came together and let the Holy Spirit unite us in togetherness under the head of Christ? See, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to portray. And the more people that are added to it, the more who come to the kingdom of God, the more who call themselves children of God and who are professors of Christ, the better we understand it and the better example it is shown to the world around us who doesn't get it. What draws people to a church is a question that they have that's unanswered in their heart. What makes them a member of that church or a member of the body that they meet with is relationship, caring, loving, and a sharing of each other's lives. It's time for someone to get up. You're fine. When it comes down to it, people, we are nothing but what God makes us. But the beauty of it is God makes us to have purpose. He makes us to have reason to exist, which brings us hope, which brings us purpose, which brings us fulfillment of our lives when we pursue it and we start to understand it. And as the church grows, the body becomes more complete and stronger. But the question that I have for you is, what piece of the puzzle are you? And are you actually plugging yourself into the puzzle? Are you helping complete the picture? Or are you sitting back collecting dust in the corner because someone lost you at some point? All of us have that puzzle at home. You know the piece is someplace, but it's just not where you can find it. And every church is looking for that. Every church is looking for that piece that makes them move forward. But the fact is that piece is sitting right in our own seats, right in our own body, because God has provided us with what we need to be the church that he wants us to be at this moment. And as we grow, as we encounter other people, as people come to Christ and they join, not the building of the church here, but the body of Christ, wherever they came from, whatever they have done, and as they become something greater in themselves, our puzzle becomes a little bit more complete. And at the end of the day, the world will see a picture of the body of Christ as it is meant to be. But church, we have to be looking for our lost puzzle pieces. And we have to be making sure that the puzzle piece we're carrying for those 8 that are out there are coming together to work together to form at least the best and closest picture of God that we can to the world around us, so that when people who are lost puzzle pieces come to plug themselves in, they can see where they might fit. So as we leave and we go out this week, remember that you are gifted by the Holy Spirit and that that gift has purpose and that you are very much needed. The old adage that 10% or 20% of the church do 90% of the work needs to fall away. It needs to become a myth that is so laughable within the church that we don't even take it seriously anymore. I'm not doing it just because we have an event coming up. I'm doing this because I want us to look like the body of Christ. I want us to honor God in the way that He has called us to honor Him. I want us to be who God has created us to be, and I want each and every one of you to understand what your purpose is in God and how He has made you special so that we can all become what He wants us to be. See, Christ didn't go to the cross in partiality. He went to the cross as a whole. And so, church, I'm asking you to become the body of Christ as a whole so that we can continue to do the work that He has asked us to do through the blessings and the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, gifting us, and working together to form unity within us. Let us be something that looks so different than the rest of the world, and let us stop worrying about I, and let us move towards becoming us. For there is no difference whether you're Jew or Greek, slave or free, rich, poor, from this country or another, addict, or have walked a faithful life your entire life, for in Christ we are all His. Set your past aside and seek the future that He has for you. Stop worrying about not being good enough and understand that you're exactly who He has made you to be at this particular moment so that you can fill the puzzle piece that you were meant to fill. And sure, each and every one of us may change and our puzzle pieces may go from being a corner with only one or two places for other places to plug in to being multifaceted and being able to be plugged in all over to the different places. But God will take you on that journey and He will grow you as He sees fit in that journey. But without the corners, we don't know where we are. And we don't know where the other pieces fit. So every piece is as important as the other piece. Don't ever let yourself be deceived or convinced that you aren't important or that your gift isn't as needed or as good as anybody else's gifts. For God has made you who you are in the name of His Son so that you can answer and fit being the body of Christ. Church, let's become the body of Christ. Let's complete our puzzle to the best that we can so that when the world looks at us, they see the most complete picture of God and His love for this world that we can present for them. Let us be something greater than ourselves. Let us become us instead of just me. Amen.